Thanks for tuning in to the Met Church podcast. Here at the Met, we are all about connecting people to God and one another. If you have any questions or want more information about what's happening here at the church, then head to our website at metchurch.com. We would love to stay connected with you throughout the week through social media. So be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Now, enjoy the message.
Good morning. Good morning. So glad to see you guys all here. We are quickly approaching the holidays. Is anybody else getting a little anxiety about that? Raise your hand as we get closer. So many things to do, so many people to see, all the things that are coming. It's really exciting in my family, actually. I think my mom's here. Mom, are you here? She was going to be here. There she is. She's going to be here for this service. So I have to be really careful about what I say. No, I'm just kidding. I had to make sure of that. No, our family is super fun. And we do a lot of things at the holidays. We have a really big family, lots of extended family, and we all go to my mom's for most things. And we're already talking about what we're going to be doing for Thanksgiving. I'm just going to tell y'all, I've been trying to get her on a Google Doc, okay? She's 80. Can I say how old you are, Mom? We're proud of this. She said no. She's in her 80s. she's kidding. And so I'm trying to get her on the computer to do a Google Doc. So we have this list. I'm saying, Mom, how great is this? You have the same list year after year after year. We don't have to get the paper out, decide who's bringing what. You know, everybody has their things that they're bringing, the same things, right? So we've already been talking about that and what we're going to do. And my family, we have some extended family coming in from Florida that we're really excited about. My cousin, Donna Jean. So a lot of, if y'all are from Texas or Oklahoma, let me hear you. Are you in this room? So you're, okay, we got a lot. Y'all are going to get this. Everybody else is going to say this sounds a little bit crazy, but everybody has two names in my family. Not like, do y'all get this? Not like the first and the middle name. I'm like two legit first names. Like I have a cousin, Gary Don, D-O-N, Donnie. Lana Dawn, D-A-W-N, they're siblings. I have an uncle, Don Lee. I have a cousin, Donna Jean, Donna Joe. We've got a lot of double first names. So if you were just listening to us, you might be thinking, oh, there's a lot of people there. There is a lot of people, but just cut it in half because everybody's got two names. And I only get called Mary Catherine when I'm in trouble and only by my mother, if y'all know what that means. So most of the time I am just Mary. So we're looking forward to the holidays. There's just something about being with people. And it might be for you, just friends that have known you your whole life, your whole life. They've seen all the crazy things you've done, the crazy haircuts, the stages and ages of your life when you've done some crazy things, and they still love you instead. In fact, there's something, you get to laugh about things and be together. We love doing that and seeing who's going to be there. When Caroline and Caleb, my daughter and son-in-law, got married a few years ago, she was trying to prepare Caleb for family time and what this was going to look like. And he's like, now, tell me again, who's going to be there? Who are these people? He's getting confused by all the double names. And Caroline said, well, Caleb, I can try to prepare you, but you're just not going to know till you get there. And the people who say they're going to come, they may not come. The people who said they're not going to come may come. And inevitably, one or two people show up with somebody nobody knows that they just knew they were going to be alone on Thanksgiving. And my mom is always so gracious and says, I don't want anybody to be alone on the holiday. So just bring them. They can come be part of our family for the day. So we do that. So that's coming up. And a few years ago, Mom and I were talking about the menu and what we were going to do. And she said, hey, your brother's ex-wife is coming. I said, really? Oh, yeah. Y'all know this is going to be a little wheels off, right? So I said, are you sure, Mom? And she said, yes. Her daughter, Ashley, my niece, is 40 now. And she wants her mom to come up for Thanksgiving and to be with the family. And you know what my mom said? Nana always says, yes, she can come. We will love it. We're glad she's coming. We love her. It wasn't anything about her. It's just, I've never seen my brother and her, even when they were married, having any kind of cordial life. So I'm a little bit even more worried about this after all this time with all the disagreements that they had. How in the world is this going to go? Well, it went okay, you guys. Mom must have had a talk with them both because I was with them. I was watching. I didn't want them in a room by themselves. I especially didn't want them traumatizing the children, getting a little angry and whatever was going to happen. But you know what? I was surprised. Actually, they even said some kind of nice things. And it was just like nothing was, like they were just kind of friends and nothing was going on. And isn't that kind of what happens with anger and disagreement as time goes on, we just let it go. Sometimes it's just not worth it. It's not worth getting our blood pressure up. The older that I get, I can tell you the things that I was really crazy about and passionate about that really ruffled me the wrong way, I've learned to let it go. And just to show people grace and mercy, that's what we're called to do as believers, even though it can get difficult sometimes. But let's face it, as the holidays are coming in the political climate, I'm really worried about the politics because my one cousin coming, she's one of those that post crazy stuff all the time. We're all a little bit worried about what it's going to be like as the holidays come. But I know this, we're going to all have an opportunity, at least one, maybe 10 in my family, but you're at least going to have one opportunity to handle a disagreement well. So by the time we get to the end of today and you're wondering, what does that look like? We're gonna know how to handle it well, how to respond in a way that Jesus would respond and inspires us to respond, whether we feel like it or not. But here's a couple things disagreements do. They cause emotional stress. So if you're disagreeing with somebody and you know they're already coming and you're gonna be seeing them over the next couple of months, you probably are already feeling a little bit of that anxiety. Oh, this is gonna get tenuous. Even if it's not your disagreement, maybe it's somebody else that they're disagreeing with, you're already having anxiety about it, worried about it, thinking about it, because that's what disagreements do. We also know that they just strain a relationship. Have you ever walked into a room with two people who don't really get along? And like, I've done this at a holiday and gone, oh, never mind, I was looking for something and got out because you could feel the tension and the room from these two people, even if they weren't saying a word, of knowing that they don't agree on a lot. I've really tried, a friend and I were walking the other day and we were talking about somebody who had a theory about something that I was like, really? And she said, you know what? Here's what I think now, Mary. I think if it's not a salvation issue, if this is not an issue, somebody's going to heaven or hell, I'm not even going there anymore. I just say, okay, you know, we're all entitled to our own thoughts. And I thought, well, I probably need to practice that a little bit more for sure. I was recently reading about two computer geniuses and the disagreements that they had. And much of what we have today in the computer world that we know was because of these two guys. They're both named Steve. How about that? You guys know Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. And they quit college because they had this dream about creating a computer. In 1976, their dream started and their company started. And they wanted everybody to have a computer, their own computer in their own house. Crazy, crazy. Now, some of you guys aren't even that old and you cannot imagine a house or a bedroom or a phone or your car without your own little personal computer in it, but there wasn't. A whole rooms took up a computer to even do simple math, things that we could do now pretty easily. But these two guys didn't agree, and Steve Jobs was all about the money, all about the sleek design of how it was gonna look. That's what he was all crazy about. And Steve Wozniak was crazy about the technology. And he was an engineer. He wanted to be sure everybody had one. He didn't care about the money. So at the end of the day, of their big disagreement, Steve Wozniak left Apple. They both got a lot of money, don't worry. They're both quite well taken care of. But their agreement actually is the thing that synergized what we know as computers today, because we needed both of them coming with their ideas, coming with their thoughts, their unique minds, and how they thought of things to be able to have what we have today. Sometimes contrasting personalities, I'll say that up front as we get to the rest of our time together, just keep thinking about this. Contrasting personalities usually have the most disagreements because we don't agree on a lot of things. But despite their disagreements, their partnership was pivotal in shaping Apple to what it is today. Can you even imagine an Apple not like it is today? I have visions. Do you guys, do y'all remember when Steve Jobs was coming out with the iPhone? I have visions of him being on that stage and talking about it. And at the time, there was going to be music on the phone and a few things that we never thought would happen. But the creative genius behind those guys and their disagreements made it what it is today. And sometimes I think disagreements with people are necessary to help us stay close to God. Because if we think we can fix everything by ourselves, sometimes we quit relying on God to help us. You guys know what I'm talking about. I know if I'm going in a contentious conversation or situation, I'm really on my knees a lot more. How about you? Of saying, okay, God, I know this is going to be difficult. I need you with me. I need you helping me. I need you telling me what to say, and most importantly, what not to say. I rely on God a little bit more. So I think God allows these things in our lives to kind of guide us to be the people that he wants us to be. We're continuing our series on Marked, and Pastor Bill has talked the last couple of weeks. The first week out, he talked about how to know that you are a Christian for sure. Have you asked Jesus into your life? And do you know if you died tonight, if something happened to you, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Pastor Bill talked about, we can all have that assurance if we ask Jesus into our heart and we believe what he did on the cross, that he was buried, rose again 3 days later, and our belief in him solidifies our salvation, our time in heaven. So if we believe that, then last week Pastor Bill talked about the Holy Spirit comes and resides in us and allows us to show these marks of Jesus. And what we're going to talk about today is, what does that look like, especially in disagreement? How do we have a mark of Christ that people see our lives and say, oh my gosh, there's something different about them. Most people are mad if they don't agree with me, and they were just kind of kind about it and grace and showed love. So as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, right, if you've accepted the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit inside you, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year, your life should look different. You should begin looking more like Jesus. We used to call it WWJD. Do y'all remember that? Some people in here remember that. What would Jesus do? That should be on the forefront of your mind as you're beginning to react. Am I reflecting God? Oh, what can I do to make somebody else see Jesus a little bit clearer? Bill said last week, you know what? Sometimes you're the only Bible that someone is going to read. As they look at your life, they may not have never been to church. They may have never heard somebody talk about Jesus in the gospel, and they're looking at you wondering, oh, is this what that gospel, the story of Jesus and the good news, is all about? Not just on Sundays. It's easy on Sunday when you've had this great praise music and we're singing and we're seeing what God's doing, turning graves into gardens and all those great things. It's so exciting for us to be positive. But on Monday, when we get home from work and we're tired, and on Tuesday, when our kids are on our last nerve, and at the grocery store, and you get in the worst line every single time, how about you? Whatever it is, what is the rumbling inside of us? Bill always talks about what's in the well, right, is going to come out. So when we see those things, we should take a note. Sometimes I wish, you know how on your commuter, you can mark it with a red, oh, I want to come back to that. Oh, mark it with the red, make a red note. Why was I feeling this frustration and this dissension in my own body? This is not that big of a deal. So here's my thought for us to consider today. When people look at you and me and our lives, are they seeing the marks of Christ? Not every day, y'all. Nobody's perfect, and we're all going to make a mistake. But overall, especially the people who live with you, are they saying they're pretty much who they are on Sunday? That's who they are the rest of the week. They're legit. They're trying to share the gospel with others. They're giving out of what they have. They are loving. They are doing things that other people aren't doing, aren't arguing about things. The Bible tells us some ways we can imitate Christ. I thought you might like a few verses on this if you want to write these down. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Be holy as he is holy." All right, so here's one thing we know we can practice. We can be holy. Forgive as Christ forgave you in Colossians 3:13. Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? And we may get to do a lot of that in the next couple of months. Just forgiving, because Christ has forgiven us for a whole lot of worse than we're going to be forgiving somebody for. Accept others as Christ accepted you, Romans 15:7. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful, Luke 6:36. Love just as Christ loved us, Ephesians 5:2. In light of the political divisions that are coming at our holidays, and all of the things. I know we're going to have opportunities to talk about it. We're going to have opportunities to practice this. So start thinking now. You probably have a disagreement in your head. Start thinking now, what are some things that you can say or not say? Because when we get in the moment and our emotions go crazy and our heart starts beating fast, it's hard at that moment to make a decision to do the right thing. So plan it a little bit in advance. I think God will help us do all that. I know we all desire to honor God in our disagreements, just as mom always desires to have everybody there if they disagree with us or not. But somehow, sometimes we forget what Christ has done for us. As we read those verses a minute ago, it's all the things that Christ has done for us. And it's easy for us to forget and start thinking we're the center of the universe, right? Oh, all these things are done to me. And God calls us to be a person of forgiveness and reconciliation. I read some interesting thoughts on disagreements that inspired me. One said, when two partners always agree, one of them is not necessary. Interesting, right? There's nothing quite as effective when it comes to shutting down alternate viewpoints as being convinced you are right. Exhausting someone in an argument is not the same as convincing him. Have you guys done that before? Argued with somebody, and you know whatever you say, they're gonna have a better comeback, and finally you're like, okay, you're right. You don't mean it, but you were exhausted into it. The last one, he who has learned to disagree without being disagreeable has discovered the most valuable secret of negotiation. How can you disagree and not be disagreeable and be a miserable person? Well, the Bible has some things to say about disagreement, a whole lot of things actually. And one of my favorite stories is about two men of faith in the Bible. You guys may have heard of them, Paul and Barnabas, and they were really great friends. They had done an incredible missionary journey together, and they had gone to share the good news, the gospel, and cities and towns and whole churches all were changed because of them coming to tell the gospel. People accepted Jesus, and it's time, and Paul's ready for his second journey, and he wants to go with Barnabas. So let me tell you a little bit about Barnabas. Barnabas, his real name was Joseph, and back in the day, they gave people nicknames by what they did or what they looked like or what they hoped for them to be, and Barnabas's nickname was Son of Encouragement. Wow. Would you love to have that nickname? And if you sat around the table at Thanksgiving, this would be a good thing. Maybe you have everybody write down a nickname for everybody else. And it has to be nice ones. And what would people say about you? What's your nickname? Well, his was Son of Encouragement. So everybody wanted him around. He was a great man of faith. He had done incredible things. And Paul was another great man of faith. He was Saul on the road to Damascus. He was going to persecute Christians. The risen Jesus showed up to him in a vision and he fell to the ground and he accepted Jesus as his savior. His life was never the same. And he began going from town to town, telling people about this amazing Jesus he had seen and that their faith in him would let them go to heaven. So he loved the Son of Encouragement. Who doesn't want to be on a trip with him, right? Everything is great. Everything's encouraging. So he decides to ask Barnabas to come and go on this second missionary journey with him. And this is where we join in our story. If you want to follow on the screens, Acts 15, 36 through 41, starts with verse 36. And it says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. How awesome is that? Going to follow up, right? Give some more discipleship. Make sure they're still believing the correct things. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. So they'd already taken him on the trip. Halfway through, he kind of decided, really, it was too hot. He was tired of walking. They walked like thousands and thousands of miles, and he had decided this was too tough. And he wanted to go home. So he just left them holding the bag in the middle of this, and it really made Paul a little bit upset. So they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commanded by the believers to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria, Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Wow, these two godly men have a disagreement. Do you even think this is possible? Well, we know disagreements in themselves aren't sinful. It's how we behave, right? And we don't see, honestly, that they did anything wrong. They just decided to agree to disagree and go separate ways, which brings us to point one, inevitability in disagreement. It's just going to happen. We are human. We all have our own ideas, our own thoughts, and we are going to disagree. But I also know what we have within us is the Holy Spirit. We have the power to do it in a kind and loving way. That's our call. Our call is not to never disagree with anybody because it's inevitable, it's gonna happen. Our call is the behavior that you and I have when we disagree. Barnabas, being the encourager he was, he wanted to give John Mark a second chance. Do you love Barnabas? I want Barnabas, how about you? I want the guy who's saying, okay, so he was young, dumb, he made a mistake. Let's get him back, let's get him showing him the right way, right? But Paul, the strategic guy that he was like, hey, he's gonna hurt the ministry. He's gonna hurt all the people that we're gonna reach, we're gonna get dragged down by him. We really need both sides, right? So it's probably somewhere in the middle. You need both people going, okay, I can see your thought on that. Well, let's maybe we put some boundaries around him. Let's give him a chance. Maybe there was a way to do all of that. But strong disagreement is a part of life, and we're gonna have to get a little bit comfortable with it because even the best of relationships, they actually go through it. Paul and Barnabas show us that sometimes people have differences of personality and they're actually disagreeing just because of who they are wired to be, which brings us to point number two, differences and disagreement. The reality is conflict is just gonna happen and we're gonna have to look at a different way and understand why people are thinking the way that they're thinking instead of telling them just to think like we think. I think as we look at both of their lives, it's just a classic difference in personality. There was not a sin of something in here. They weren't leaving because somebody was doing something, you know, that was horrible. It was just a difference in personality, what they thought, how it would go. The differences in personality and perspective play a role in most conflicts. Got two different people, often we marry somebody totally different from us. Have you guys done that? Like I have, yes. One of us likes to get up early and talk the second that we get up. One of us likes to get up, be in the dark, have coffee, maybe two cups. Oh, bore me to death. I got up this morning, we got up early, 5:30. I was just awake and I'm emptying the dishwasher. He's like, do we have to do that at 5:30 in the morning? I'm like, do we just have to sit on the couch at 5:30 in the morning? I don't get it. We're always gonna have disagreements, but we laugh because we know it's our personalities. There's nothing wrong with either one of them. We just want to do it the way that we want to do it. But God uses disagreements. And that's what we get to see in the story. And that's point three, opportunity and disagreement. There's always an opportunity for God to show up and do some great things because God knows how to make a mess into a miracle. This is the best part of the whole story, right? They disagreed, so they each go their own way. We saw they each take their own people. And then guess what happened? We don't have one trip anymore. Now we got two. We got two missionary trips going out, telling about Jesus, all the more people that were becoming to know. It was a success. This was a win in the end. And God made something really great happen out of the disagreement. It was a miracle. And as they both heard about it, they probably laughed about it one day going, yeah, okay. You got to minister to these people. We ministered to these people. It was a win. But this is what God does sometimes is he expands our thinking and our horizons by what somebody else thinks because it's not necessarily what we would. We need to also remember in the middle, I'm gonna add this in, because sometimes we're in disagreement with people that can't be healed and we're trying, that God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He is on the throne and he is working. And sometimes we in our flesh can't make something good come out of something bad and we're really trying and that's up to God. So when we're frustrated and we're feeling like this is really bad and I don't like this disagreement, I don't like this uncomfortableness, we just give it to God. God, you know, I'm trying to do my best. I'm trying to be hospitable. I'm trying to show grace. I'm trying to show love that you've called me to do. And I need you to show up and do the miraculous because I'm not gonna be able to do it. And that's what God does. Number four, there's reconciliation and disagreement. Sometimes it takes a while, and that's what God's going to do at the end of the story. But here's what I know. If we will wait on God, not take matters into our own hands, but if we'll wait on God and ask him for unity and reconciliation, he will usually provide a way. So ultimately, the story of Paul and Barnabas is not just about a disagreement, but it's also about the reconciliation that happens later on. It's really about the larger picture of what God wants for us, right? God has reconciled us to him through Jesus so that we can reconcile with other people. That's what God's called us to do. He's forgiven us, we forgive other people. He gives us a second chance, we give other people a second chance. This is the reconciliation nature that God has called us to. In 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20, this is what Paul writes. And I'm wondering if he had Barnabas on his mind when he wrote this. It says, "All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." It's a ministry. "That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them." We usually don't forgive and try to reconcile because we're still mad about the sin, the betrayal, whatever it is. We're still counting people's sins against them. And God says, we don't need to do that. Jesus covered that on the cross. "And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors." Did you know you're an ambassador? If you believe in Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you are an ambassador of reconciliation. That's what God has called you to do. It's one of your main purposes of being on this earth. It's helping create unity, especially in the world around where we live today. My favorite part of this story is that we actually get to see two great men of faith who both went their own way and thought what they had was best. We get to actually see the fruit of the reconciliation. Sometimes it just happened and we didn't know, but let's read the end of the story. In 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 11, is toward the end of Paul's life, and he's writing. And he's seeing a lot of people kind of abandon him. And he calls for John Mark. Let's look at it together. It says in verse 9, "Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Can you see him now? He deserted me. "Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. So get Mark and bring him with you, because he has been helpful to me in ministry." He forgave. He reconciled. He moved on. This is our challenge today. Wow. I know, y'all, I know I'm standing here and I'm saying this, and you've got something really, really hard going on. And I know these are easy words to say, but I wanna tell you, God wants you to know, he's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you the opportunity. And he's going to give you the power of reconciliation. If you ask him, if you depend on him for it like you depend on your life, he's going to give it to you. Remember, when you encounter disagreements, God knows how to take your messes and make a miracle. If you don't remember anything else today, remember that. God takes messes and makes a miracle, even if that mess is me and you. He's going to make a miracle out of it. And our goal is to strive to be a little bit more like Jesus every day and a little bit less like us. And it takes a lot of change and work. Zach Williams is one of my very favorite Christian singers right now. Anybody know Zach Williams? Raise your hand. Is there a few of you guys? Yes. He's so awesome. I was listening to Randy Robinson, a guy from our church, actually interviewed him on Life Today, and I was listening to his testimony. Wow, what a testimony. He grew up in the church, and his family was in church. His dad actually was a worship pastor, and he just decided he didn't want to go the church way. He says in his own words, "I was far from God." So he started singing in a rock and roll band and did some crazy things. And he got married along the way and had some kids. And his wife finally said, "I love you, baby, but we can't do it anymore. Can't do this anymore. So either you get your life straightened out or me and the kids are gone. So he went out on tour and he said he was riding on the tour bus out in the middle of nowhere. And he said the bus driver was just changing stations around. They couldn't really get anything. And Redeemed came on by Big Daddy Weave. You guys heard that song, I've Been Redeemed. And he said he knew it was God talking to him. He got on his knees and he asked Jesus into his life. And he thought, well, that's the end of music. I mean, went and worked construction and didn't think God would ever do anything with this music love that he had. And he started writing songs like crazy. He's written a few Grammy songs. He sang with Dolly Parton now. My Chains Have Been Broken is one of his songs about how God freed him from the past that he was in. Now he's got this crazy life he didn't ever expect. But one of his songs I was listening to the other day made me think about us. And it's, we're looking for marks, how we have these marks of Jesus. What does it look like? And here's Jack's song. Zach's song is called More Like Jesus and A Little Less Like Me. And he says, I want to be more like Jesus, a little less like me. I want to feed the beggar on the street. Learn to be your hands and feet. Freely give what I receive. Lord, help me be. I want to put you first above all else. Love my neighbor as myself. And in the moments when no one sees, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace. A little more like Jesus. And a little less like me. When you know the background of where he came from, he said he had to learn a whole new life, how to live this life with all the baggage and the memories that kept coming to his head, and God delivered him. But day by day by day, he says, I just started being faithful, reading my Bible. I just started becoming more like Jesus. And thankfully, we don't have to be perfect, right? We just have to allow Jesus to come in. We have to allow him to change the things that aren't like him. We have to be willing. We have to say, okay, God, I know I need you. Can't do this on my own. And as I close today, I want us to stop and think about a disagreement that you're having. And as we pray today, we're going to ask God to go ahead and go before you and start clearing that disagreement up, because that's what God does. He changes things that only he can change. He's a miracle working God that we can call upon when we cannot do things ourselves. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we leave today, let us remember that we're called to be people who are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Lord, help us to think how you would respond in situations more than how we want to respond and what our heart wants to do. Let's approach our relationships, even with those whom we disagree, with grace, understanding, and a desire for unity. And let's trust that you will even use our sharpest disagreements for your good purposes, Lord, even when there's hurt and anger involved, Lord, that there can be healing that only you can do. If there's anyone listening today that hasn't decided to follow Jesus, to ask him into their life, I pray today's the day that they'll pray, Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from that life and I invite you to come into my heart, and I want to trust you and follow you, Lord and Savior. God, I also pray for my friends here who are struggling with a disagreement and they're listening to you, Lord. Will you empower and strengthen them to be a vessel of you that will shine so brightly that people will want to know who you are? They'll want to read that Bible. They'll want to be close to that God, Lord. And we give it all to you. Lord, as our prayer team comes down, I pray if there's anybody who wants to come talk to somebody, maybe about a disagreement or has asked you into their heart or maybe rededicated their life, that they'll come forward, Lord, and be with somebody who'll love them and pray with them as well. God, we love you so much. Thank you for the opportunity that each of us have, Lord, to have you in our lives, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you have any questions or prayer requests, please contact us by visiting metchurch.com so that we can follow up with you this week. We look forward to seeing you next week.